If you're watching this channel, it's because you don't enjoy watching the world squander what Christendom built, but you want to do your part. And chances are you've heard me mention a great means by doing just that. Email made by and for Catholics. Check out fidei.email. That's FIDEI.email. Built for Catholic individuals, families, organizations, and groups. They're private, secure, and of course, they're Catholic. And they're offering 2 months off on your first year for an annual subscription if you enter the coupon code RETURNTOTRADITION, without spaces. That's the name of this channel, without spaces, at checkout. The endless synod of synodality is continuing. It's continuing mostly behind the scenes. The bishops and cardinals most involved in running the synodal process in Rome have been quietly having meetings with groups of influential laity to try to sell them on the process of synodality. Their problem isn't just that people are opposed to synodality. Their larger problem is that most people just have checked out. They don't care. They're indifferent to the whole process. We saw this with how very few people participated at the parish and diocesan levels in those early synodal listening and dialogue sessions, where laity were given the opportunity to tell their priests and their bishops what they thought about the state of the church and what they thought needed to change. The purpose of synodality is to change the church. At least that was the case in most places where the process was open. In some dioceses, the listening sessions were by invitation only. And the result was you tended to get the more, frankly, progressive and modernist voices being invited to these listening sessions. The fear of the bishops in this case was that too many conservative and traditional Catholics would ask for things like reverent liturgy, the traditional liturgy, the traditional moral teachings of the faith being expounded from the pulpit. They couldn't have those things, so instead they were by invite only in some dioceses. But now we've entered a kind of different phase. After the Vatican has extended and then extended again the length of the synodal process, now going into 2025 for some reason, they have started having meetings, the top leadership of the synodal process, have started having meetings with laity. Cardinal Mario Gresh is one of these figures. He is the Secretary General of the Synod of Synodality, making him basically the co-chair of it, along with Cardinal Hollerich, which, as an aside, makes both of these men actually papabile, meaning they could become the next pope. For those of you who have been following the Synod of Synodality, that should be a cause of concern. But Cardinal Gresh was addressing a group of laity recently on the purpose of the Synod of Synodality, and he inadvertently exposed the plan of synodality as violating the faith in a recent speech that he gave to that laity. So I'm going to tell you what he told you, what he told them, and then we're going to go over why this is a destruction and rejection of Catholic dogma and Catholic faith. So let's start with what he was doing. In this speech to the Diocesan Synodal Assembly, Cardinal Mario Gresh, the Synod on Synodality Secretary and co-chair, forgot that he was talking to normal people when he described how wonderful he thought this endless synodal process was, because he started using all sorts of really complicated language that goes over the head of most people. But that's not an insult to most normal people. You're going to hear this kind of language and you'll wonder who he was thought he was talking to. So the headline from Communita Nueva is, "The Synod promotes the maturation of an ecclesial conscience." Look, folks, no one talks like that in real life. No one talks about the maturation of an ecclesial conscience. But he did this to a group of normal lay people. The use of such language helps obfuscate what's going on with the Synod on Synodality. Worse, when they use this kind of language, they mask their intentions with the Synod, and they do so by invoking the Spirit. They rarely, if ever, say the Spirit they're invoking is the Holy Spirit, but they claim that the Spirit is guiding the synodal process, thus heavily implying that being against synodality is a sin against the Holy Spirit, or at least it's a sin against whatever spirit they claim is guiding the synodal process. Sins against the Holy Spirit are the unforgivable sin. Thus, the implication is that we must stop resisting the process of the full maturation of Vatican II into the Church at the risk of our salvation. Do you see how this works? From the article, quote, Thanks to the Synod, we are experiencing the ecclesiological processes set out in the conciliar pages. For this reason, we can affirm that it is the mature fruit of the Council, a true Copernican turning point in conciliar ecclesiology. That is, the common belonging to the people of God and the common dignity of all the baptized. This was said this afternoon in Cantizzaro by Cardinal Mario Gresh, General Secretary of the Synod of Bishops, meeting with Archbishop Claudio Maniago, the delegates and representatives of parish pastoral councils of the diocese, who have been engaged for over 2 years in the two phases of listening and discernment. Cardinal Gresh highlighted in particular that the Synod, in the first phase, made it possible to intercept the largest number of faithful, trying to reach even those who are far away and paying attention to the poor and marginalized, a difficulty initially raised by many bishops and many communities in times of the 2020 problem. Listening to the people of God means listening to the voice of the Church and not the opinions of the people, so much so that no document could condense the depths of faith that overflows from the contents received in the various local churches. At this point of the synodal path, said Cardinal Gresh, the hope is that it will be possible to promote the maturation of an ecclesial conscience in which the people of God are experienced as subjects. To do this, we need to listen to the people of God, which means listening to what the Spirit says to the Church. If we didn't have this certainty, the consultation would be reduced to a sociological survey. This reflection on synodality, Gresh also recalled, started from the Youth Synod. It is important to listen to young people. They are the ones who led us on this path. End quote. Ah, yes, listening to the youth. What could possibly go wrong? Consistently, young Catholics and younger people in general want religious leadership to be more progressive in their leanings. For Catholics, this means the ordination of women, the Moloch ritual being embraced by the Church, James Martin's stuff being embraced by the Church, and of course more lay leadership. They want the Church also to typically align with the values of the secular authorities. You kind of get the idea. And that is, of course, among the young people who bother to stay Catholic. Because we all know that many young people get confirmed, and then once they reach the age where they're not living with their parents anymore, maybe they go off to college or whatever, they walk away from the faith. They stop practicing. In some cases, praise God, they come back later. But many of them just walk away forever. Let's give you an idea of how bad of an idea this is. But it gets better because the Gresh really likes to mix up this language and talk about dynamism and all this other stuff. But the focus here is destruction of the hierarchical nature of the Church. And it is a matter of faith that Christ established a hierarchical church, that people within this hierarchy have their own role to play, and we're not to tinker with the concept of the hierarchy. Here's what Mario Gresh has to say, quote, "Responding to the questions and reflections of the delegates present at the assembly, Gresh did not fail to highlight that the synod is the point of convergence of the dynamism of listening at all levels of the life of the church, which begins by listening to the people, continues by listening to the pastors, culminates in the intervention of the Bishop of Rome. It is a question of promoting circularity, because the pyramidal church is overcome by the council. The holy people of God will thus feel confirmed in the spirit of listening, and will grow in the mentality and in synodal style. For this reason, added the cardinal, the church must continue to live the synodal path, in logic of listening to the spirit and the people of God in its entirety." End quote. He makes a very big admission there. Traditional Catholics like myself criticize Vatican II greatly as having contained a great deal of errors, a large number of errors within the documents, but they also fundamentally went after the structure of the Church itself at Vatican II through mechanisms like collegiality, which is this artificial elevating of the bishops and their role in the Church to being as close to on par with the Pope as they could get away with at that time. Cardinal Gresh admitted that Vatican II undermined the hierarchical nature of the Church. He said it overcame this because they've been pushing the idea that synodality was a process envisioned by the Council Fathers of Vatican II to be foisted on the Church, and that they're finally getting around to doing it 60 years later. And the article, though, from EWTN refutes the entire concept of synodality. I'm not going to go over the whole thing here, because it's too long to do that. I'll have a link today in my show notes at returntotradition.org for you to take a look at yourself. But this is worth your time, I guarantee it. Gresh is arguing for reduction of the hierarchy into a more circular governing system. The church has taught as a matter of faith that the church is hierarchical in nature. From the EWTN article in their archives about the hierarchical nature of the church, quote, "The following words of Pope Paul VI can serve as a short synthesis of the will of Christ for the constitution and makeup of his church. Christ promised and sent two elements to constitute his work, to extend in time and over all the world the kingdom founded by him, and to make of redeemed mankind his church, his mystical body, in expectation of his second and triumphal return at the end of the world. These elements are the Apostolic College and the Spirit. The Apostolic College works externally and objectively. It forms, one might say, the material body of the church and gives her a visible and social structure. The Spirit works internally, within each person and within the community as a whole, animating, vivifying, and sanctifying. These two agents, namely the Apostolic College, whose successor is the sacred hierarchy, and the Spirit of Christ, which makes the church Christ's ordinary instrument in the ministry of the Word, and the sacraments work together. On Pentecost morning, they are seen in a marvelous harmony at the beginning of Christ's great work. For the remainder of this article, we will be concerned with the first of these two elements. The Catholic Church teaches as a doctrine of faith that Christ gave the Church, in his apostles, a hierarchical structure of an episcopal nature, and that within the hierarchy and the Church he established a primacy of authority in the successor of Peter." End quote. Now, Gresh's statement invokes the Pope as essentially being the last check on this circular process. But the traditional hierarchy of the church has been pyramidal in nature, with the laity being at the bottom and then the various levels of ordination being between the laity and the Holy Father. That is not what they're envisioning here anymore at all. They're considering this like almost like great leveling, where the laity have so much say in this that the Pope becomes little more than sort of a president, if you can imagine that situation. And here's why this is an error. Synodality undermines the structure of the church. And here's what we go back to that EWTN article, which synthesizes things from before the council and after the council on this. Quote, "All the faithful, from the Pope to the child who has just been baptized, share in one and the same grace. Nonetheless, when it is affirmed that the Church is a hierarchical society, we are in substance saying that in spite of the radical or fundamental equality which is to be found among the people of God, the Church has structures, features, and differentiations by virtue of which she is a society in which there is a functional inequality. That is to say, not all the faithful have the same function or mission. For this reason, Pope St. Pius X could say that, quote, the church is essentially an unequal society. That is a society composed of two types of people, shepherds and sheep. This hierarchical structure is not the result of socio-political influences, but stems from the will of Christ. This has been stated solemnly by both the Council of Trent and Vatican I, but it is Vatican II which is given a detailed summary. Quote, the Lord Jesus, having prayed at length to the Father, called to himself those whom he willed and appointed 12 to be with him, whom he might send to preach the kingdom of God. See the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, which give detailed summaries of this. These apostles, according to the Gospel of Luke, he constituted in the form of a college or permanent assembly, at the head of which he placed Peter, chosen from among them. See Gospel of John. He sent them first of all to the children of Israel, and then to all the peoples. See the letter to the Romans. So that sharing in his power, they might make all peoples his disciples and sanctify and govern them. See Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and thus spread the church, and administering it under the guidance of the Lord. Shepherd it all the days until the end of the world." End quote. The synod on synodality and this leveling up of the laity, or at least select laity, to participate in a more circular hierarchy is tinkering at a fundamental level with the church as in the form that Christ established it. They are undermining the very nature of the church with this, and they know that they're doing it. And so this begs a question. Do they believe? You have to remember that live stream I did last week with Cardinal Robert Seurat talking about how many of the bishops have embraced a functional, practical atheism. He didn't say that they were atheists, but they've embraced the logic of it, where the church focused more and more on the values of the world instead of the values of the church. No more are you going to be able to find this in your face than here, where they're openly talking about bringing down the pyramidal nature of the church. After all, Cardinal Grace said Vatican II overcame that. And you know they're making it up, because Vatican II actually restated that the church's nature is hierarchical. Let me know what you think about this in the comments, please. Hit like and subscribe if you haven't. It does help. So does sharing this on social media. That helps too. And if you've ever thought about becoming a patron of this channel, supporting the work we do here, there are links to Patreon, Subscribestar in the description box below. It does keep these daily messages coming. And as always, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.